people are making it out to
okay,
be.
Okay.
Hey, Maggie, wake up. Wake up, Maggie. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. What's going on, Maggie?
Hey, Earl, good morning. Just happy to be here.
Well, a little Prince.
I know that's good on a Wednesday. Prince is good any day of the week, but it's especially good on a Wednesday morning with Earl.
I think that's the first time I played Prince. But anyway, so Donald Trump, here's what I don't understand. Here's what I just don't understand. Maggie, maybe you can help me understand. Here's a man who has now been convicted, right? Is it safe to say he's been convicted?
So a couple things about yesterday. First of all, just saying convicted is not the correct language.
Okay,
it's not a criminal trial. So we generally will say convicted or acquitted
right. When
we're talking about criminal trials. So yesterday was a civil trial, and he was found liable
okay.
for the claims that were made against him. And there were some interesting pieces of that, which we can talk about, because I got the jury verdict form. Ta-da! I went and downloaded it because I thought, this is very interesting. But yes, Donald Trump was found liable in the E. Jean Carroll lawsuit. This is a journalist who says that sometime in the mid-90s, she ran into Donald Trump at Bergdorf Goodman, which is basically like one of the sheeshier, fine department stores in the world. And that they were sort of joking around, maybe even sort of flirting. And he asked her to help him buy lingerie for a gift. She accompanied him, and somehow
Wait a minute. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it sounds really dumb now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right? But I think it explains, it actually shows you a lot about what power dynamics are going on. If you remember back in the 90s, like Donald Trump was kind of like the it guy in New York, and he was all over the New York Post. He was in the press all the time. And E. Jean Carroll was a fairly young writer and journalist, and she largely freelanced in her career. So meeting and cultivating a relationship with someone like Donald Trump would not be something that most young journalists would turn down.
Right.
Correct. And for those of you who don't engage with the Fourth Estate or journalists frequently, they do befriend you. They're attempting to establish rapport. They do that often at great peril to themselves by sort of meeting people on their ground and their territory, places that make them comfortable, meaning the subjects that they're trying to interview and get information from. So that part seems sort of ludicrous now because, well, gee, we all know he's been accused of rape credibly by some 12 plus women, including one of his ex-wives. We now look back on that and go, that's dumb because this guy is a serial sexual assaulter who admitted such both in a deposition and on the Access Hollywood tape. So seems dumb, but that's what she did, young journalist. And effectively, he got her alone in a fitting room and was trying to suggest that she put the lingerie on. She told him he should put it on. She was trying to make jokes. I have personally done that to try to diffuse uncomfortable situations with powerful men who are crossing a line. And before she knew it, she was pinned up against a wall.
And he was trying to grab her, you know what? Probably.
Well, yeah, he was grabbing. Yes, he was grabbing her private areas, and her, according to her sworn under oath, hand on Bible testimony, he did in fact penetrate her and committed the crime of rape. So while there was an assertion that he raped her, that was only one of the civil claims that was made in this case. And what's really interesting here is that the jury concluded that there was not sufficient evidence by a preponderance of the evidence to conclude that he raped her. But the very next question on the jury verdict form, and I know because I have it here, was the question, did Mr. Trump sexually abuse Ms. Carroll? Answer, yes. Mr. Trump forcibly touched Ms. Carroll? Answer, yes. Ms. Carroll was injured as a result of Mr. Trump's conduct? Yes. If yes, insert a dollar amount that would fairly and adequately compensate her for those injuries. So the injuries related to her sexual assault, they awarded her $2 million. I just want to pause there, right, Earl? That is an historic decision. A jury of 9 people, 6 men, 3 women, who had to be somewhat living under a rock to a certain extent in order to make it through jury selection and onto this jury. The jury questionnaire here, which I haven't looked at for a few months, but was extremely in detail. What did these people know about the Access Hollywood tape? What did they think about Trump? Did they vote? Are they partisan? Like, in great detail. So people had to be able to pass through that lens, not get disqualified, and be seated on this jury. 6 men, 3 women yesterday decided in an extremely short period of time, that Donald Trump had committed a violent sexual assault and that he should pay a woman $2 million in damages for that. That is historic. It's a president who a jury in a court of law in the United States has concluded committed sexual assault.
So
the rest of that jury verdict form talks about the second major claim for damages, which was the defamation piece. Right. That not only did he sexually assault her, but he then defamed her and harmed her further by calling her basically a liar for coming out publicly and saying what happened to her. And very interesting here, I'll just make one more sort of nerdy legal observation here. Last Thursday was the last day of full trial testimony. Ms. Carroll put on a damages expert for her side, an expert effectively in public relations and reputational harm, who got on the stand and said, it will cost somewhere between about $400,000 and $2.7 million for Ms. Carroll to repair her reputation from the harm caused by Donald Trump. Well, what did the jury give Ms. Carroll in damages related to the defamation claim? $2.7
million.
Okay. Now it's split in these two buckets, but for present purposes, very interesting that they literally came down at the exact number that the expert used. They also awarded her another $280 in punitive damages for the defamation claim. So it, all told, you got about a $5 million verdict here. I think that's a pretty clear message. I also think that it becomes extremely difficult for anyone to claim this was a biased jury. They had their minds made up from the beginning because of the fact that they declined to find him liable on the rape charge. If this was a runaway jury, if this was a jury hell-bent on sending Donald Trump a message, regardless of the facts presented in the case, they didn't do that. Whether they were motivated by the fact that they found it a bridge too far to convict a former president of rape, excuse me, not convict, I made the same mistake you did, to help hold a former president liable for rape, or whether they found that because Ms. Carroll could not clearly state whether he had only partially or fully inserted his private parts into her private parts, she did equivocate about that. She was clear that there was penetration, but she wasn't clear exactly what had occurred, not unusual. Well, for whatever reason, this is a pretty spliced and diced, balanced verdict. It also clearly followed the evidence presented, again, using the number that the expert gave. I think it is a exercise in futility that this will be appealed. I also think that is obviously going to happen, but quite a historic day yesterday.
Maggie, can you help me understand? Because Bill Clinton, And what happened with, forgot her name.
Paula Jones. Paula,
no, the other one in the White House.
Miss Lewinsky.
Yeah, Miss Lewinsky. And he has to wear that with him the rest of his life wherever he goes. And the conversations that I heard yesterday after Donald Trump, especially on Fox News, witch hunt, right? And they actually spoke about it for about 4 minutes, and then they went on to the Biden family is headed towards. And all I could think about is, even in the face of this, it's not going to change people who still support this man.
Correct.
And what does it say then about people who, in the face of this, Maggie, that's somebody's mother, that's somebody's sister, it's somebody's auntie. If it was anybody other than Donald Trump, they would want blood. But even in the face of that, we've got to deal with people who are still going to accept the fact that this is a witch hunt. And this man is still going to be the leading Republican candidate for the presidency of the United States, Maggie. That's mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, that's definitely the reality. I think very candidly acknowledge that there's some people that this just, the election was stolen. Donald Trump has never harmed a woman. I think the rest of the people are actually engaging in some pretty deliberate and intentional denial and self-lying, basically like sort of running the fast.
So, Maggie, hang on a second. We got to go to a break. We'll be right
Sounds
back.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back.
Yep.
Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the Dawn of Resistance to Self, Maggie Dawn, Corporate Counsel of Milwaukee County. So Maggie, so here's what I don't. It's hard for me to understand this. Donald Trump did not take this seriously, is what I'm hearing people say. He just assumed, as I did, that something that happened 30 years ago was not, that it was any way possible, and I minimized it. I'm going to be honest with you. With all the things that he's done and that he does and he gets away with, I surely didn't think that this was one of the things that he was going to have to pay a price for. I didn't see it coming. And so the other part of this is when they show, they're always talking about Joe Biden and he, his limitations because of his age and those kind of things. But when they showed Donald Trump a picture of this woman where he said, she's not my type, and they showed him the picture of the woman, and there she was right next to him. And he said, oh, that's my ex-wife. Did you hear him?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so either there.
Oh, yeah, that's Marla.
Yes.
Was the, that's Marla.
So he's apparently, you know, some of his faculties aren't exactly the greatest because that woman looked nothing like Marla Maples.
Yeah.
Right? And yet, he said, that's my ex-wife. So he's facing some issues. How do you then, Maggie, he's facing other things too, many other things. Is he going to make it through to be able to run for president? The president?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know.
Because you can be a felon.
He's going to.
You can be a felon and run for president.
That's correct.
Of the United States. How does that make any sense?
He's clearly going to run for president and is running for president. I'll be fascinated to see what happens at the CNN town hall. The devil's asked me yesterday. Yep, that's tonight. Devil's asked me yesterday, if you're the journalist, what do you ask him? And I would say, are you going to pay Miss E. Jean Carroll her money? Do you respect the jury process here in the United States? Right. Forget your verdict. Do you respect the use of juries? Do you think that juries come to correct decisions?
Do you
most
think he'll answer
time?
That? I don't see any way he'd answer.
No, but and like most American journalists, even including the much vaunted Jake Tapper,
they don't follow up.
Like, right. Just small tangent. Y'all should watch some BBC and some journalism in Britain, because those journalists follow up with the questions. But that is a topic for a different day. You know, we left off talking about self-delusion. And I think that that is really the root of a lot of the things that we see. And that is, there was a point in time where a lot of folks that support Trump, for whatever set of reasons, said, I am going to turn off to facts or information that don't fit my worldview. Now, we all do this. It's called confirmation bias. It's a major part of human psyche. But it wasn't just, I'm going to turn off facts that don't fit my worldview and listen to these other facts that do. It's, I'm going to turn off these facts that don't fit my worldview. I'm going to ignore all information permanently. And I'm actually going to engage in things that have no factual support and don't stand up to scrutiny. So it was the denial of facts and the engagement in a lot of fantasy, right? And once someone self-deludes in that way, especially here about politics, you've now put yourself between a rock and a hard place. You can't back away from that on anything about any topic. You concede no ground, because as soon as you do that, you've admitted that the emperor has no clothing. No pun intended. You've looked behind the curtain, use your metaphor, and now it threatens almost all of your worldviews or all of your political views. And I think that's a lot of what's happening here. Now, I will say that there is a tiny sliver of people that I do think this conclusion, this jury's finding of liability, that this will matter for. A small sliver. And since we're always talking about these tiny slivers, I think he'll be able to fundraise off of this for a while. It'll actually probably be a boost to him.
Right.
But I think in the ballot boxes, in a general election, this hurts.
I don't see how women, right? I don't see how women who voted for him the first time around, when he talked about grabbing women, I said it was the kiss of death. I said there's no way in the world women are going to vote for him. And yet many did. They overlooked that. He's since kind of said it again, you know. And I don't know if they'll do it this time, right? I mean, you got to really, as a woman, because I've also read and listened to others say, well, why did she wait 30 years? And from based on some of the things I've read, it's because she was writing a book. And so she really didn't want to, I mean, go at this thing. But these things, this has to happen. People have to be willing to step up.
So that's not actually what happened by her own account. The reason she did say something to two people right away, those two people testified and corroborated her recollection of the event. So that's thing one. Thing two was she testified, and at least one of the other women testified, that ultimately she was advised by this friend not to report it because by her friend's own recollection, her friend told her, he has teams of lawyers. They will crush you.
So let's do this. We got to go to a break, Maggie, because that brings me to something else. 844-967-2789. You can join us. The Dawn of Resistance. We'll be right back. We lost Maggie?
No, she's still here. She just stepped away for a second.
Okay, all right. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. 2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, it's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with none other than the Dawn of Resistance itself, Maggie Dawn. Our phone lines are open. So, Maggie, what I wanted to say to you is, if we go back to that time, 30 years ago, it was a free-for-all. The Harvey Weinsteins. What is the other guy's name who killed himself in the prison, in the jail?
Jeffrey Epstein
and Donald Trump's of the world. These men were running around, and it was a smorgasbord. You know what I mean? And women clearly were afraid of these powerful men. And history has bared it out now. As this stuff is, you know, starting to come to the surface. And so Donald Trump, just from the things that's come out of his own mouth, you would have to say, you know, is this the kind of person that we think should, you know, should represent the United States of America, right? Shouldn't there be some standards?
Yes, and the framing founders, you know, other than an age requirement, decided not to put any of those in any of our documents, right?
Right.
And left that decision to voters. You know, when we look back and folks call up and they quote from this Federalist paper and all that, and this particular founding father's perspective. And I think it, generally speaking, for most average Americans, we view the founding fathers as if they all had this perfectly coalesced single idea about how to organize a government.
Right.
If you got some kids, pack them, you know, put them into the backyard, give them a bag of candy and tell them to figure out the fairest way to divide it up. And generally speaking, they'll give everybody the same amount.
Right.
But if you say, now, introduce some new factors and you have them do that experiment again, they'll all have very different ideas about fair and all of these kinds of things. And I say that just as a really stupid way of expressing, there was no one view of perfect democracy that our founding fathers came to. They came to an imperfect point of frankly, concession and negotiation. They did the best that they could to frame up a document. And many of the fears of not all of the founders, but some of them, we are seeing play out today because they recognized that people could choose a leader in a president in this country, utterly unsuited to the work, incapable of the work, corrupt in the work. And they thought that these mechanisms for impeachment would be enough, as well as the criminal system writ large, to keep our leaders in check. I think we're finding out more and more, with increasing intensity and number, that system is that we're not vetting candidates well, that people are much more susceptible to manipulation. And it is exploitation and manipulation what Donald Trump does to his base, because we're seeing candidates and people like George Santos, who by all accounts is literally a con man. He is a confidence man that just lies about everything ad nauseum when it suits him, and has proudly proclaimed I'm running for reelection, and has just been charged with effectively 13 counts of money laundering, fraud, right, elections violations in a federal court. So we've got the con man and the con man. And we have to step back and say, can we at least point out and criticize the systems that are producing people like this as elected officials, regardless of their party? Right. And I don't think, you know, Democrats do us well in debates to say, oh, there's nothing about Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden may have committed some crimes. And if he has, he should be fully prosecuted. And if the crime requires time be spent in prison, he should do so like any other American. But all of those people that are freaking out about Hunter Biden and the Biden family, where is that same statement that I just made about Hunter Biden? Where is your equivalent statement of that towards Donald Trump and his family? Fact. I know some of our listeners really like facts. Here's a fact. 2 months after Jared Kushner walked out of the White House,
with all that money,
the Saudi Royal Wealth Fund, their sovereign wealth fund, which is the Saudi family's investment fund worth hundreds of billions of dollars, gave Jared Kushner, who has never managed money professionally in his entire life, $2 billion for him to invest on their behalf. Does that happen without Donald Trump as president? The answer is no. So do children of elected officials and do children of people with extraordinary power and access trade on that? Yes, they all do all the time. The question should always be, at what cost to the American people? At what greater harm? Even setting aside the question of criminality, can we ask that question with equal vim and vigor towards both Hunter Biden and anyone in the Biden family, as well as Donald Trump? And I've never met a defender of Trump who will allow that vigorous interrogation of members of Trump's own family, just as they demand of Hunter Biden.
So Maggie, we've got Mr. Fack himself on the line.
Who's super?
CJ.
I'm not going to be, Earl, I got to tell you, I'm not going to be responding to what CJ says, because CJ never talks about what we're actually talking about. He just drops verbal bombs. Okay, so I'm not doing it today.
CJ, can you, are you going to try to follow the conversation? If not, we'll just move on.
Well, yeah, I am. But I am going to point out the hypocrisy of Maggie. She's okay with the money that Bill Clinton had to pay to Paula Jones and Monica Lewinsky. She's okay with that. She voted.
And never him. Said that. She I've called Bill Clinton a rapist on this show and others, CJ.
CJ.
You never mentioned him
CJ, she doesn't have
because
to
we're not talking about Bill Clinton today.
It is Donald Trump. It is news because it's hot news. It was yesterday. And so to say that somebody's not mentioning Bill Clinton, why don't you respond to what happened with Donald Trump yesterday?
Well, I wish he would have testified. I think that would have made a difference in his case.
It would. Okay.
But the mere fact is that you didn't mention, as you talked about the Biden family,
we're talking about the fact that Donald Trump just occurred. He's on the losing end of this. What are your thoughts about what has been said about Donald Trump and what he is allegedly supposed to have done to this woman? And now he has to pay $5 million, a jury of his peers have said that he did this. So what's your thought on that? Does it change your view on him?
No, we're still facing the policies of this president, so right. It doesn't matter.
Okay, man,
So I just want to,
go ahead, Maggie.
I First of all, I was the one who knew all the names of the people that Bill Clinton has abused, harassed, etc. I don't know them all. I'd be happy to spend an hour on Earl's show talking about how Bill Clinton abused his power and is likely a rapist. Bill Clinton, however, CJ, has never been convicted civilly of sexual assault. Bill Clinton has never been convicted civilly of sexual assault. A jury has never gone into a room and decided and filled out this form right here that I have and come back with that result. Bill Clinton, not a good guy for women. Not a good guy for women. Likely a rapist, a serial harasser, not a good man. I would venture to guess that a huge swath of politicians back in the day were doing this. I would imagine a huge swath of politicians are probably still doing those sorts of abusive behaviors. But what about ism, CJ, doesn't speak to this president, this particular past president, who has on the record more accusations than does Clinton.
And Maggie, and also the fact that he's currently going to be running.
Correct. Bill Clinton ain't trying to get elected president again.
No, that's the issue. He's trying to run for president to become the president again. Hey, Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, sir. Thank you for the call. You say what?
CJ, I want you to listen to me loud and clear. I'll talk slowly so this all comes through. When Donald Trump approached the Republicans and vice versa back in 2016, they said yes to a man with 11 bankruptcies, 24 sexual assault charges, payoffs, tax evasion problems. And they said yes, that was the best they could get. So now fast forward today, this criminal president wants America to support him. My children don't look up to sexual predators. They don't look up to 11 bankruptcies. They don't look up to 2 impeachments. And then let's fast forward to Kevin McCarthy. That goofball has to be elected 14 elections before they even deem him in charge of Congress. And then on top of that, the man participated in an insurrection against the country. There was a message out a while ago, NFL or NBA, who has the most criminals? Neither. Congress has the most current criminals right now. And you want America to elect criminals? Heaven help you. Start reading. Open your eyes. Thank you guys
Bill. Thank you very much. And so really at the root of it, Maggie, is you can't say and talk about criminals all over the nation. It's criminals, those criminals in the cities and those criminals and criminals, 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 criminals. And then the biggest criminal of all is right before your eyes. And you totally dismiss that criminal. Who's, again, you think about it. The things that he's done to women, the bankruptcies and stuff, that's horrible. But he's got daughters himself.
Well, according to him, if she wasn't my daughter, I'd be dating her. Yeah. I mean, you know all you need to know about this guy. Like, who would say that about their daughter? They're by the way, when he said that, she was not a 25, 26, 30-year-old adult. She was like a 13 or 14-year-old, basically pubescent teenager when he said that.
Yes.
It is. And listen, the litany of cringeworthy things done, said, expressed, intimated by Donald Trump is too long to ever engage with. But what do all of these things mean on balance? As well as, and this is what I think tells you more about who Donald Trump is than a lot of things, his willingness to do this stuff on hot mics, out in public, yes, and to defend it. No, Clinton, I hate to be like this, but had at least the common sense to try to hide it. He knew what he was doing was wrong. Donald Trump doesn't And I mean, we laugh at that, but there is an element of truth there. Like, Donald Trump genuinely, as he said in the deposition in the E. Jean Carroll case, thinks it might be a, quote, fortunate thing that famous people can sexually assault regular people at will. That's what he basically said in his deposition. It was, they asked him to confirm the statement. Do you still think this is true? And he said, yes, unfortunately, or fortunately. Like, that was his answer, out loud and proud.
And do you think you're a celebrity? Well, some people think I am. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means the dawn of resistance is here, and always glad she's here. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning, Tom. What do you say, man?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And people need to wake up and realize that we are the government. The power lies within us, especially if we fight to get money out of politics, because that's the biggest issue. I am so sick of this hypocritical party. I am so sick of this GOP pro-death party. This whole idea of them, who all of a sudden, aren't they supposed to be the, I don't remember Bill Clinton ever saying that we're the party of family values, and I don't ever remember anybody on the Democratic side saying, oh my God, we're saints, or anything like that, or even running on anything that comes close to that. We have talked about policy. The Republicans talk about family values, they talk about, you know, taking the government's right to choose for women, what to do with their bodies. They talk about anything that has to hurt we the people, whether it's transgender people, whether it's gay relationships, you know, what have you. I just really, really, really just, my deepest plea to those Republicans that are just sensible Republicans, really look at the facts of this thing and realize that you have a previous occupant of the White House that was a scumbag. And if you want to call Bill Clinton that, and yes, I agree with Maggie, if Hunter Biden did what he did, he should go to jail. It's just not both sides, this both sides-ism, when all they've done is run on how perfect they are, is just, it's appalling to me. It's like, when do they ever, you know, receive justice? Donald Trump may have received a little bit of justice yesterday, and he's got a lot more coming to him. But the thing is, there is no comparison between these two parties. I'm sorry. You know, there's one that is for the people, and there is one that is completely bought and paid for by the corporation.
So Tom, hang on. Let's let Maggie respond.
Well, listen, this is a tale as old as time. Democrats and Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard than Republican ones are. Period, full stop. That's been the way it has been for the last 20 years. We also self-police our ranks much better. I remember not too long ago for telling a bad joke and taking a photo, Al Franken was basically forced out of Congress. Now, what's come out is that Mr. Franken engaged in some other questionable behavior. I don't know if that behavior would be today considered disqualifying, but we sure drummed him right out of Congress. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. No, McCarthy's too busy counting debts on how to, counting votes on how to push the country into an economic crisis, the likes of which we haven't seen in a while when we default on our debt. Like, it is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans. And Democrats do not play by that same set of rules. And I think Mark's absolutely right. There is one thing, Earl, I know we're coming up short on time, that you mentioned to me when we were coming into the hour, and that I just wanted to point out. And that is, this morning in Milwaukee's Journal Sentinel, their editorial board wrote an editorial about both the shared revenue and sales tax elements of the state legislation. And I just want, we can devote all next week, Earl, if you would like, to talking about the legislation, and people can get their questions ready, and I will do my best. And if I don't know the answers, I can come back and try to answer them. Here's what I'm really, really, really angry about in the op-ed is a paragraph that is filled with like clickbait chum that is factually inaccurate from the Journal Sentinel, and their editorial board needs to do better. I know that they are a shrinking news department, but you cannot get core facts on something that is this important wrong. And here's the paragraph. It's about three quarters down in the op-ed, and it reads, "Worse yet, the bill is tangled in even more strings, at least a dozen, for all units of local government, such as the number of tickets police officers must write, an arrest they must make or face losing state dollars, banning local advisory referenda, and forcing local officials to remove prohibitions against discrimination in hiring or contracts unless required for federal aid." Those, first of all, the first two things are presented sort of out of context, and I think they need to be explained and discussed more. The two last items in that list, banning local advisory referenda, that is just wrong. They do not ban local advisory referenda. They say that local unit governments who cannot legislate in a certain area shouldn't be putting referenda on a ballot about areas that they can't legislate in. Doesn't sound entirely stupid to me. And secondly, forcing local officials to remove prohibitions against discrimination, yeah, that's not in the bill either.
So, wow. And we're out of time.
You know, that's just me setting up next week's show together, right? We'll start there.
You know, this is something that, you know, is upon us, and you've been, I don't know if you've been in some of the negotiations that have been around it.
I am not a negotiator, but I do receive drafts, and I have to try to provide the county some guidance.
But the clearly what is needed is accurate information, and people need to be made aware of it. But we got to run. Maggie, as always.
Good to see you, Earl.
Yeah, it's always good to see you, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Take care, everybody.
Up next is going to be Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Can't wait to hear what he has to say. We'll be right back. Bye, Maggie.
Bye-bye.